listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 257 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This week we are speculating and pondering and wondering and hoping and maybe slightly fearful because we're going to talk about the new Star Trek Picard series and what we hope is actually going to happen with it or what we suspect might happen with it. Some of this content may or may not be spoilers. We're probably going to be completely wrong in our guesses or near enough. I mean, Picard's in it. I think that's definite.
Well, I mean, judging from the sheer number of trailers that are out, there's some other characters too.
Yeah. So Star Trek Picard is going to be available on CBS All Access in the States from January 23rd. And it'll be available to international viewers through stuff like Amazon Prime from January 24th. So that's why we're talking about it.
Because everyone loves fragmentation in the digital market.
To be honest, I mean, I'm not too worried if it's just like a single day. Because you can occupy yourself for a day. It's when it's like, you know, a couple of months or whatnot difference. That's when it's like, no, screw you, I'm going to pirate.
Yeah, it's more the fact that all the Star Trek is on Netflix.
Yeah, that is slightly
awesome. Well, at least in like the UK.
Yeah.
I don't know what the case is for other territories. I mean, obviously, though, in the US, it's all on CBS Access. I was in it. So.
In it.
In it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
More digital services, that's what everyone needs. It's great.
Because it was going so well for everyone before.
But that's a different episode, and one that we've, I think, talked about a couple of different times now.
I think it comes up repeatedly as the media.
Because it's such an annoying fucking thing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, MMOs are really popular. Why don't we do one of those?
Oh, God.
They owe me lots of money.
Or a music rhythm game using badly made peripherals.
Hooray! Or a shouting cat. Hey, cows. Yeah, if you can hear that.
Guest episode for this is cats.
but not that one. That one's a weird, horny hell.
So I suppose there's been, have we had a new trailer in the past 3 months or not?
Yes, I think there was one that like a final one that was like a 30 second snippet like a week ago or a month ago or something like that.
And there was a little one that Jerry Ryan or Seven of Nine shared as well, where it was just basically her walking away from the the Star Trek symbol.
Mm. So what is the situation that we think Picard's finding himself in, at least the start of this show? He's retired.
Yes.
Quit.
I mean, I get the feeling that he has been tasked to a certain extent with looking after the woman stroke girl known as Darge. For whatever reason. And it involves Romulans. And it involves the Borg.
And crazy shit with the Borg. In a kind of experimental, you probably shouldn't have done that. And some kind of...
Possibly, I think that's going more into speculative territory.
I still think something bad's happened in regards to that. Nothing good could have come from it.
Well, no, come on.
Well,
I have started to wonder whether Section 31... are somewhere involved in there as well.
What's their status at this point?
Section 31.
Timeline in all their times? Because they get kind of fucked over, not just in stuff like Discovery, but in the other shows as well, don't they?
Well, the only other show that it's really involved in, apart from Enterprise, is DS9.
How were they doing at the end of DS9?
that they were still an organization within the Federation.
Okay.
Within Starfleet.
And they didn't get mentioned in any of the films, did they? Or did they?
No.
No.
Hmm.
But I mean, they're still out there.
Have either of you two read the Star Trek Picard comic called Countdown?
No.
Where
but Kaz has.
A shouty cat called Picard.
Shouty cat?
Yeah, she's back again. Hello, cows. Come on. Yes, you. No, you can't have me. Anyway, it's kind of the end of his career in Starfleet. There has to be a massive evacuation of Romulan space due to, I think they were trying to tie it in. This is my take, whether they actually are or not, I don't know. But you know, there's supposed to be a supernova in the Romulan Empire, which would take out a large chunk of it, and that's what Spock was supposed to be trying to stop.
Yeah.
The first J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Movie. Well, Picard is tasked with helping to evacuate, some Romulan worlds. And, of course, the Romulans being the Romulans, they don't really trust Starfleet that much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, history makes it that it's probably a wise choice not to trust them.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I think the Romulans have been the sneakier ones, as it were, at least in the shows that we've seen, apart from that one bit in DS9. That was extra sneaky on, you know, Sisko's part.
I think people might need a reminder on that.
It's fake! Would that be the one?
Yes, that'll be the one.
Yeah, I'm just coming up to that point. In my DS9 rewatch.
But it's basically because Emily's nudging me to kind of explain for the non-Star Trek viewer.
Yes, go on.
Basically, in order to get the Romulans on side in the Dominion War, because they were pretty much trying to stay out of it at the time, the Federation forged evidence about the Dominion talking about Romulus being the next target.
Yeah, because, wasn't it supposed to be... this is going from several years back now.
Yeah.
Since I watched it, but several of the larger powers in the Alpha Quadrant, which was where, you know, the Star Trek that everyone knows takes place, which is, you know, the like our quarter of the galaxy, had been signing a non-aggression pact with the Dominion, which was a power from the opposite side of the galaxy, which could access ours via a two-way stable wormhole.
Yeah.
Hence, you know, the whole thing with DS9. And wasn't it Sisko specifically who helped, you know, he came up with the idea and then passed along this fake plan that the Dominion were going to be invading Romulus.
Yes, and basically tasked Garak with creating the forgery, but because Garak knew that he would not be able to create a forgery good enough to convince the Romulans, basically he kind of detonated the shuttle of the Romulan... I'm not sure whether senator or interrogator or what, whatever. Basically, the guy that was tasked with determining whether it was fake or real. So he created the shuttle explosion, which then kind of tainted the evidence. So the Romulans obviously could access the, you know, the footage and whatnot, this fake footage, but they didn't know whether it was real or not. So they kind of had to assume that it was real.
Yeah.
Like I said, sneaky.
So, oh, Sisko. Who's a lad, isn't he?
Anyway, back to Picard.
But of course, whether the Romulans ever found out, you know, the truth is a different matter.
Yeah. So, in the two of the three issues of the Star Trek Picard Countdown issues that I've read, Picard commanding his new ship, Admiral Picard. On his new ship, he's helping to evacuate certain worlds, and stops on one which was the, you know, the latest one where, you know, they've, oh, there are so many, you know, 1,000 Romulans on, you know, in this colony, and they can use the ship to evacuate them, you know, before the shit hits the fan. And as it turns out, the one thing that the Romulans who were, you know, running that colony didn't really bother telling anyone was that they had enslaved a local sentient population.
Ooh.
And of course, they didn't matter because it was their world. So therefore, you know, get the Romulans off. Doesn't, you know, doesn't matter about, you know, these people who are going to die because they're not Romulan. So Picard kind of takes exception to this, as, you know, as Picard would, and says, you know, we evacuate them all, or we don't, you know, we evacuate no one. So, you know, you've got to, you know, let us know how many, you know, natives are, you know, in this area, and, you know, we've got to do something about this. And the Romulans who are running, you know, that colony, slap him in prison.
Ooh.
So, I'm kind of guessing, because the whole thing was Picard has left Starfleet because he's, you know, he pulled off, you know, one of the, you know, the most amazing rescues, or, you know, one of the biggest rescue, you know, plans in Starfleet history. But, yeah, he obviously had misgivings about how Starfleet, you know, finished it off.
Yeah.
I've not reached the end. I don't think the third issue is out yet, or at least, you know, I haven't seen it yet. But, yeah, he's not happy with how things are going, and as, you know, as usual with everything with Romulans, it's much more complicated than they were letting on.
Fair.
Yeah, so I think that's at least part of the background.
No wonder he wanted to quit after that.
Yeah, given the amount of speeches he's given about, you know, universal, you know, rights for sentient species in the series.
Well, presumably, I mean, there was a fuck up on the Federation's part, because I doubt if that alone would have been the catalyst for him to go, nope.
Well, I'm presuming that it's going to be something like, you know, Starfleet think that, you know, weighing the odds, it's better to go with what the Romulans want to do rather than what the right thing should be. And, yeah, no wonder Picard would take exception.
Could be.
We will see, though, because so far as I know, this is the sort of thing where they approached CBS, and, you know, they were given the go-ahead, and yes, they can do this, and they can, you know, linchpin it on certain things. So, it, as with most things like this, it's probably semi-canon. You know, they may return to it. There may be differences if they return to it in the series, which has already been renewed for a second season.
Yep.
Mind you, that's despite the fact that we've seen some negative-sounding videos on YouTube, yeah, well, I mean, being recommended to us.
One, it's YouTube, and two, it's basically what I can determine as fake Trek fans, because you have to be fake to turn around and go, nope, Discovery's, you know, awful. You know, I'd only bothered watching the first episode and I knew that it was going to be awful. And you know, Picard's obviously looking awful because, you know, it's not like a 90s set.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know how to break it to them, but it's not the 90s anymore.
No.
You know, the 90s were, what, about 6 or 7 years ago now? But, you know, by my count. You know, because otherwise I start reading articles about how the sitcom Spaced is coming up to 21 years old, and then I feel very, very old and decrepit. So that can't be true. It's obviously about 6 years since the 90s. Yeah, yeah, we agree on that. Good. the cat's back, by the way.
Yay.
But yeah, it's
I have to admit, one thing I
stay away from any videos like that, because as Paul says, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you're just talking shite because you don't know what you know, you either don't know what the hell you're talking about, or you know what the hell you're talking about, but you're just going to be controversial so you can get people clicking on your video.
I mean, the thing is, there are plenty of Star Trek channels out there on YouTube that are much more positive. I mean, one that I like kind of going back to is Steve Shives, who is basically a YouTuber that mostly talks about Trek and whatnot, and his presentation style is basically him kind of talking about, you know, kind of stuff to the camera and using kind of still images of like the shows rather than kind of getting in trouble with actually using, you know, footage and shit.
Wow, he's actually thought about it then.
Yes, yes. And, yeah, and he's actually, you know, very, very good. He's got quite a few, like, different, you know, things like was Jellicoe really, you know, that bad a captain, and, you know, kind of looking at the different Cardassian characters in, you know, like DS9 and whatnot, and like how they were, and, you know, all sorts. The one that we watched today was basically about Picard was kind of the captain that we kind of need nowadays.
Yes. I mean, we would probably just chuck him in the sea if he would turn them now.
But I mean, yeah,
back
kind
to
of
France, Frenchy.
But yeah, he was kind of talking about the personality of Picard and how he's like a, you know, older, wiser, more diplomatic, more kind of reserved and quiet, and basically just all these different things that kind of make him into a kind of unique and great character.
Picard acts like he has values, personal, moral and ethical values.
He doesn't just act like it.
Yeah. But also I like how he doesn't, I mean, to be fair, I don't think any of the main captains on any of the Star Trek series, like at least the newer stuff, I say newer stuff, anything post the original, are particularly, how should I put it, pro-establishment. Like, they have a nuanced, pragmatic relationship with, like, Starfleet. Like, they're not, that they kind of get, at least after, not too far into their careers, kind of like, Starfleet,
And the Federation
have problems.
I mean, obviously,
they kind of take on board these are the values that we should aspire to.
Hmm.
You know, even if the reality isn't quite matching up, you know, to them at the moment, it's like, you know, these are the things that we should be.
Hmm. I mean, I think the interesting thing about Star Trek is that, as much as it's had like a various variation of kind of setting and ship and whatnot, it's also had a great variation of captains as well.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, Kirk's captaincy is very, very different to Picard's, which is very, very different to Sisko's, which is very, very different to Janeway's, which is very, very different to Archer's. And, you know, subsequently you've had like Lorca, who's, you know, Lorca. And then you've had Pike, who's actually
not like a Starfleet captain. Yeah, yeah. Maybe if you shut up and watched it, you'd find out why.
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, yes, that kind of annoyed me. The way that people kind of complain about Discovery as though it's like, oh no, it can't be Trek because, you know, it doesn't have like a captain that's, you know, really caring and, you know, kind of nuanced and, you know, all this thing. And it's like, just watch.
Yeah.
Just pay attention and watch. Yeah, or we'll be good.
Shut up. No, he said, no, shut up. I said, shut up. Watch it. There you go.
But I think Picard, the show, not just the character, but yeah, Picard's got this real chance to show another nuanced look at Star. It's not going to be old Trek. Just like Discovery isn't old Trek.
Yeah.
I feel like when Picard was originally announced, I felt like there was this kind of vibe from people going like, oh, it's going to be like a return to a fall because we hate Discovery. And it's like, it's looking more like Picard's kind of following the form of Discovery, at least in terms of mm-hmm. pushing yeah. boundaries and perceptions of what it means to be Star yeah. Trek.
That's the thing, you know, it's basically Star Trek has evolved over time.
Matured, one might say.
Yes, absolutely. And people still kind of, you know, want to go to that, you know, that Next Generation era. And if you really want to focus on that and get new stuff from it, go to the Orville. Because, you know, the Orville kind of... Well, it doesn't necessarily take itself too seriously, but it is more in that, you know, next gen vein.
Or you know,
the Orville is very TNG.
But it's kind of designed to feel that way. Whereas, you know, kind of Picard so far has been, it has the production values of Star Trek Discovery, and by the look of it, some of the action and whatnot. But it also has some of the greater storylines from. Well, so far it looks like, anyway, yeah. from the Next Generation and kind of coming into Voyager and whatnot. I mean, it'll be really cool if they could somehow kind of get a little bit of DS9 in there somewhere. But, I mean, that might be asking a bit too much.
There's always another season.
Yeah.
You know, if they've yeah. already been renewed. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. But, I mean, even now, you know, you kind of get, you know, people ask, you know, on YouTube being like, oh, is it already in trouble? Is it already cancelled? Oh, was CBS secretly worried about it? And it's like, no. At best, that's clickbait. At worst, it's basically fear-mongering. Because they know that yeah. people are less likely to tune in if it's like, ah, oh, well, you know, it's only if it's only going to be one season, I'm not too worried.
It's, I mean, I'm someone who, I don't know if I've mentioned this, kind of like Star Trek.
I hadn't noticed.
I've watched one or two.
Oh my God, me too!
Insane.
Times per episode. but, yeah, it's, watching the trailers, it's... It's like I said a while back, where, you know, I have to take into account that sometimes trailers are cut in a very particular way.
Yeah. And not just that, but also trailers, especially nowadays, they kind of point to things that just seem to go nowhere.
These days. Yeah.
Like, say, for example, last week's topic of, Rise of the Skywalker, and there being, like, bits in there that's, like, it literally goes, like, 30 seconds of Dark Rey. Not even yeah, that, you, and then yeah,
you have now
that's
seen
dropped.
That bit. Because it's like, oh, I can't wait to see what they do with that in the film. It's like, no, you've seen it.
Mm.
That was it. We did it so we could put it in the trailer.
Yeah,
more or less. Oh, as an aside, I did see one of the best summaries of Rise of Skywalker on Twitter on my timeline last night. someone I follow said, finally going to go see Rise of Skywalker in the cinema! Exclamation. And then about 2.5-3 hours later, replied to herself and just said, oh. And he's like, yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am hoping that I get a different vibe from the series than I do from the trailers, because the trailers look a little bit, the trailers almost it's like, you know, Fellowship of the Trek Rings.
Well, or thinking on more current seasons of, say, Rick and Morty, there's a particular episode that is themed around heists, and it feels a little bit, as the characters pile in and ships appear and stuff, that they might all be traveling. It feels like Picard's getting together a team for a heist.
It does a little bit.
And can you? I mean, what do you think, Paul?
What
do? You,
what are you trying to do? What? I feel like you're trying to get me to say something here in particular.
That wrong thing. What do you say when you've been invited to a heist, Paul?
Oh, what is that phrase? I know the last bit of it.
You son of a
bitch. You son of a bitch. I'm in.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It just feels a bit like everyone's going to be just saying that, but silently.
Kind of, you know, just when I think kind of they pull me back in.
Yeah. I'm sorry, is that a can of cider being opened up beside us?
Shh. It's a Christmas present.
The whole thing's been, he's been driven to drink.
You see, I muted the microphone when I opened mine.
Yeah, Paul's just been rude.
Yeah, I'm a professional. Yeah. but yeah, it's you know, watching the trailers, you know, if I may put on my negative hat, which of course I very rarely wear. It's like Data looks just fucking weird.
I think in the trailer in the orchard.
I know it's like 30 years.
No. I was actually referring to the specific scene where he's in the orchard painting. I don't think they've got the hair quite right. I think it basically needs an ever so slight widow's peak, because the way that they've got it is basically just almost like, well, not sure how to describe it in, you know, words exactly, but the hair is not quite right. The shape at the front isn't quite right. And I think that's what irks me slightly. It's not the fact that Brent Spiner's older, because that's just like, actually they've kind of done all right on that front there, you know.
And the, you know, there are a number of things they could do with that, which, you know, I've always liked the idea of, where in the series where Data has, you know, he makes attempts to make himself look older, and they're always a bit wrong because he doesn't really have the insight.
Yeah.
So he gives himself a very obvious streak of white hair or just, you know, something like that.
I mean, the thing is, though, is that, you know, kind of character makeup has kind of changed over the course of, you know, of the season, the original Next Generation seasons. Like in the first season, you basically had him with more slick back hair, you know, and, you know, a lot less kind of white powdery on his face. He kind of always looks like he's, you know, far more just kind of been almost like spray painted, or, well, not even spray painted, just, you know, so like painted with a paintbrush, it's white, but a little bit patchy. And obviously they kind of, you know, developed that later. And, you know, obviously now he's got the classic look.
It's like with anything, they refine it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm wondering if that shot is going to look exactly the same in the TV series when we see it.
That is the question with trailers these days. Mm. Is it going to look like that once you see the thing?
Yeah. And it's what's hinted at in one of the, I think it was the latest trailer, was the what looked like a production line of Data androids.
Or something to that effect.
Yeah. Some kind of android-y type thing. But it makes me wonder where they're going with that and the Borg. Because obviously the Borg are involved, because not only have you got the destroyed Borg cube in the trailers.
There's a cut-up Borg.
Yeah, you've got 7 of 9, you've got a cut-up Borg, you've got Hugh, who's obviously, you know, an ex-member of the Borg. Spoilers.
Yeah. So there's whole row, you know, just gamut of things, because you've got
I mean, is that kind of a, do you reckon that's kind of an issue, how they're trying to pack in a bit too much? Maybe,
I don't know, it depends, because it might be that what we're focusing on is actually a B or a C plot, and something else might be the A. I think the whole stuff with Daj, I think Daj might actually be connected to the cyborg situation, android situation, Borg situation in some capacity, perhaps,
there's something going on,
and I'm questioning whether or not she's actually like biologically human or biologically, you know, an organic life form.
I was actually wondering whether maybe she might be Shinzon's daughter or something.
Also possible,
because, you know, obviously Shinzon is a clone of Picard, and, you know, that would kind of make sense for why she would actually seek out Picard.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that they can, you know, just reference.
Can we also, but speaking of references, I still can't get over the fact that Picard's calling his dog number one. That's quite adorable.
Well, you get so used to a lackey who will follow you.
Ooh, accurate, though. I mean, how long did it actually take Riker to actually get his, or accept his own commission?
Yeah, because he got offered it quite a few times, didn't he? And yes. Just turned it down.
Mm. I mean, I'm just thinking, can the dog do, "Show's your friend alert!" And then it'll be just like having Riker. And, of course, constant sniffing of other dogs' backsides.
I have wondered who else is meant to be, like, cameoing.
How does the dog sit down on the chair? That's going to be the test.
Well, probably more artfully than Riker ever manages.
I did. Yeah, I think it might have been actually Retroid that said that part of the reason why he actually does that, where he kind of sits down in that way, is because of a back injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while we're kind of obviously making fun of, Riker's, kind of stance on chairs and sitting and whatnot, it's slightly like, aww.
To be fair, like, Misha Collins in the current season of Supernatural, up to a point he's been moving around a bit differently because he hurt his hip last year. Or was it the year before last? It was the year before last, but he only finally got surgery for it near the end of last year. But you can tell he was moving Kaz around the sets differently just so that he didn't irritate it as much.
Mm.
So it is a thing. Like, yeah, physical injury as an actor, it's like you kind of have to find a way to work around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to know is, obviously, Picard's going off on his own.
Well,
to an extent.
He's going off without Starfleet's backup. Yeah.
So, yes, it's without Starfleet's backup, but how involved do we think Starfleet's going to become? Do we think they're actually going to turn out to be kind of the bad guys somewhere down the line?
I'm not entirely sure whether bad guys is necessarily the right way of putting it. I reckon that they're going to be... I don't even think that they're going to be antagonists per se. I think they're going to be kind of a bit too neutral. I think they're going to basically play the diplomacy or the fake diplomacy card of, oh, well, we don't want to get involved because we don't want to pick sides.
I mean, introduced back with the Marquis in Next Gen, which carried on to both DS9 and Voyager. You had the peace deal with the Cardassians, where it was for the for the greater good, we alter these borders.
Mm.
So these colonies end up in Cardassian space, and these other colonies end up in Starfleet space, Federation space, and that went well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we will kind of see what's going on. I don't think Starfleet is going to be, Starfleet or the Federation are going to be, the bad guys.
No.
I think they may be, there are bigger things there. There's a big picture that, we cannot, risk.
Yeah.
So, it will be interesting. I'm hoping that it looks better than the trailers do for me. But then every time I seem to see a trailer for a series, I'm always slightly frowning at it by the time it finishes. The series can really blow my socks off when I watch it. Okay. So
there's nothing specific about the trailers that you're like, I'm not sure about that, or that looks a bit not right.
Well, it's just, how big is Data's part in it?
Mm.
What is the, the deal with the space elf?
Is that the dude good with swords?
Yes, that looks like presumably Romulan rather than Vulcan. But I suppose possibly Vulcan.
Yeah, it's just a little... that's why it makes me think of, Fellowship of the Rings. He just looks like a space elf. And I hope he's got more to his character than that.
To be fair, though, I mean, because in terms of, like, the other series, the only time that we ever see either Romulans or Vulcans is with kind of very, very short hair, like a bob almost. Apart from maybe, like, T'Pol in Enterprise, occasionally should, have slightly longer hair. But I think the pointy ears and long hair does kind of traditionally point to elf.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you can't really turn around and say, oh, no, you can't have Romulan or Vulcan with short hair.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I would like, whatever that noise was.
His whiskey.
It's honestly booze. Quite shocking. I'm scandalized. By the way, winter spiced plum and apple was my cider. It was quite nice.
Ah.
But yeah, if they expand on the Romulans a bit, so we see more, more variation.
Yeah.
Then that will be welcome, because I think we've only seen the Romulan homeworld about twice. And that is at the start of Star Trek Nemesis, where Shinzon melts the whole Senate.
Mm.
And in the two-party unification, where Picard and Data go to Romulus and meet Spock, who's been, working with some of the reunification, Romulans.
Yeah.
So, I would like to see more of the Romulans. And for a start, If this whole thing with, Romulan space, and there's been a whole evacuation, what's been going on with that? Mm. So, I'm hopeful there's some interesting things going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I get the feeling that part of the update to Star Trek will be the getting rid of Planet of the Hats. So I think that we will see more Vulcans that are, less about logic and more about, other stuff like arts and, not necessarily full on emotions, but just other stuff. And we will see, Borg that have, or ex-Borg that have actually become more emotional and stuff. Seven of Nine seems actually, fairly quite... further along,
well adjusted, really.
On the further along on the humanity scale than what she was in Voyager. Obviously that was kind of an interesting personality kind of quirk, but now she's seeming more human, and I think we're gonna be seeing that more. Just hope that we get to see it in other species a bit more as well, because at the moment we've not seen any Cardassians, we've not seen any Klingons even, there's a whole galaxy that's kind of not there yet.
Yeah, in Discovery, which once again, for the record, I will say I am largely fine with their do-over.
What, for the Klingons?
They look a lot better with hair as well.
Yes.
Which, they did in season two. But the money that is being thrown at the Star Trek series, I think will get rid of the, as you call it, Planet of the Hats, or, as I would, would say, Planet of the Wrinkly Foreheads. It's, someone's got a weird bit of a forehead, or their nose is a little bit different. That must mean they're an alien. It's like, I'm aware that it was much lower budget. Even though when Next Gen started, it was one of the the most expensive, ongoing series on TV.
But then,
barring a few massive bombs.
Budget was only one of the factors. I think time was probably another factor as well. When they still had like 24 episodes per season as well. So
26.
Sorry,
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's literally half the year.
Yeah. And I remember reading that they had about a week per episode to film.
Mm. Which must have been incredibly tight.
And as was seen with Discovery and even just the short tracks, CBS are now throwing much more money at you know, their products. So it's not just the, you see, that's a thing as well. I've said products. that's what these fundamentally are at the end of the day. But at least they realize that if they spend money, they will get the money back.
Mm.
So in a way, everyone wins. But yeah, they've realized that if they spend enough money making these series look good, which Discovery does, it looks almost in a motion picture.
Yeah.
A level at times. So they will throw money at special effects, digital effects, and we've seen quite a lot of aliens are still people with prosthetics, and that's fine. Unless you're going to throw the whole book out, you're going to end up with a lot of people with prosthetics on.
Yeah.
To be the aliens, which we know from the original Star Treks.
Yeah.
However, remember the episode where they go down to Saru's planet?
Yes.
And we finally see the other dominant, sentient species that's on that world. They look suitably weird.
Hmm.
So I'm hopeful that we will see more weird shit. Because I'll accept the whole explanation that there was a precursor race and it either weeded out or seeded its own DNA in a lot of primitive worlds.
Yeah.
And, there's also an explanation, I think I just read it in one of the, the Trek novels where they describe the humanoid form ends up being one of the more dominant for intelligent species because it's one of the more flexible, versatile. So, you can get variations, but, that it tends to be a bilateral symmetry, two arms, two legs.
Yeah.
I would like to see some of the species that we've either heard mentioned or that have been featured. But only in passing. Like, there was a species, I can't remember what they're called, but they're in a Next Generation episode where there was an Earth colony on a highly irradiated planet. And the Enterprise went there because, this species that, they'd signed, the Federation had signed a peace agreement with, basically to stay out of each other's hair because they didn't like most other aliens, and the Federation, it's like, okay, fine, whatever. We'll stay away from the systems that you regard as yours.
Hmm.
And you only kind of saw them in profile. I'm going to have to look them up now. But there are a few non-humanoid species in Star Trek. Tholians, as an example. I presume you two watch the original. Well, I was going to say the original, but Enterprise as well.
Yeah, I've seen Enterprise, and I've been playing Star Trek Timeline. So there's a couple of different aliens on there that's like not quite humanoid.
Yeah, and they're cool. So if we can see more of those around, of course, the problem with the Tholians is that they need far higher temperatures.
Hmm.
Because they're like a weird crystalline species. But I thought Enterprise did them well, considering that they were, from one episode of the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was nice to see them. I would like to see more of these, more unusual things. Where the whole issue was, if you had them before, they would either look bad, or you could easily blow half a season's budget. Just, doing an episode featuring them. But, yeah. We've come a long way in both spatial effects and creature effects and CG, so...
Yeah, and also basically camera work and, rigging and CGI and, there's all sorts of stuff that has come a long way.
Also script writing, because it isn't Monster of the Week.
That is very true, yeah. One of the things that I like about Star Trek Discovery is the fact that they've adapted to proper arcs and whatnot. So they've still got their individual episodes, but they've got an overarching, you know, storyline going through the season. And that just works far better than, you know, the Monster of the Week, which pretty much was what, like, the original Next Generation was.
And a lot of TV of that time.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole argument there was, of course, that they wanted the episodes to be bought in syndication.
Yeah.
For anyone unfamiliar with that, if you're familiar with TV regions in the UK, it's that kind of, you know, same deal. Whereas, you know, if you'll have a TV channel which is affiliated to, say, Fox or CBS, but it will be your local variant and there will be regional variations. So they could either buy a Next Generation episode or they could repeat Isle of Lucy for the nth time. That was how a lot of series, you know, made their money. But Next Generation was one of the first that they started off with syndication in mind, because there was no Paramount channel at the time. Otherwise, that, you know, they would have used that as a linchpin.
Yeah.
So you ended up with lots of local, you know, TV stations, and there was no guarantee that they were going to show them in order.
That is true.
If you could, you know, think of the market that they were selling to, it made perfect sense for them to have very few, you know, story arcs. And it was only when DS9, you know, came along in the later seasons that was on the Paramount Network.
Yeah.
Or UPN, which was the United Paramount Network, which was kind of like ITV in the UK, where it was lots of regional, you know, little channels that would, you know, do their own thing out of peak hours. But they would have a networked sort of, you know, peak viewing in the evening. Mm. And that's when, you know, stuff like Voyager and DS9 would be on, you know, all that kind of thing. So it was only when they had a home that they started doing larger arcs like the Dominion War in DS9. Up until then, that's why you had Thing of the Week.
Mm.
Where you could have callbacks, but it was against your financial best interests for someone to tune in randomly and see episode 27 of an arc.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely kind of glad of it. I have got the feeling that obviously it's going to probably be like 10 or 12 episodes maximum. Possibly even just down to like 6 or 8.
Because that's
the way that TV runs nowadays, unfortunately.
I think it's supposed to be something like 13.
13?
Yeah, that sounds about right for like a series that's debuting like that.
So. Now, I've found the name of that non-humanoid species with the colony planet.
Go for it.
Sheliak.
Okay.
I remember the name of the episode. So I remember the name of I think it's the second episode of season 3 of Next Generation, which I originally saw in around about 89, 90.
Okay.
the Sheliak are a non-humanoid species with little regard for humanoid life and would exterminate any humans found in their path. And it's one of the cooler ones because Picard gets them to retreat because there's a Sheliak colony ship on its way. And because they have a very complicated language, that it's a very complicated... The peace accord is more like a legal agreement.
Delightful.
So the section where he quote-unquote defeats the Sheliak is where he's quoting provisions, legal provisions in the agreement, where he says, it is within our right to choose an independent arbiter, you know, there's someone who isn't Sheliak or from the Federation, and this, you know, agreed, and then he chooses a species which has a hibernation cycle of something like 18 months. So, you know, they've already agreed and they just have to, you know, turn their ship back and, wait. And it's just one, to me, it's one of the, that's a Picard moment where he outsmarts an opponent rather than I'm going to blow shit up.
Yeah.
Until you stop doing the thing. But yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Oh, and as trivia, the main male lead in the episode, or you know, the bad guy colonist, had to be redubbed, and I can't remember why.
Oh. Okay.
Because yeah, if you watch it, it's a you know it's basically a Data episode because he's the only one who can survive the radiation, and yeah, I thought it was a little bit weird when I watched it, but you know sometimes you think, well, they have to redo dialogue, but yeah, for some reason they had to redo all his dialogue in the episode. So there you go, a bit of Trek trivia.
Hmm.
So yeah, more weird shit, please.
Okay, I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up. So what I want to ask is, what's your top wishes for this, for Picard, before it airs? What's your top wish?
Retroid, do you want to go first?
Borg cats.
Borg cats?
Yes, yes. Just... the Borg have given up with humans because they're too unreliable, and now they just they decided on cats, and now that's why the Borg aren't a danger anymore. Because so long as there's a giant, you know, container of tuna left for them, and a nice big roaring, you know, gas giant, you know, for them to curl up beside, then you know, the Borg aren't in any trouble.
Okay.
Or. Just an overall good expansion of the TNG universe, and you know we get to see what some of the, you know, where some of the storylines went.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
Borg cats, led by Spot. Led by Spot. There you go.
For me, I know. Well, one, I hope that. Picard still uses logic and reason, but also like humanity and humanity's values to, you know, kind of defeat his enemies, as it were. Like in Star Trek Next Generation, I mean, most of his stuff has always been like him giving impassioned speeches or, you know, kind of detailing why Data should be considered an individual who has rights and whatnot. And, you know, those very, very powerful, you know, kind of moments where Picard just shines because he is pretty much like a beacon of, you know, justice and, you know, hope and whatnot. Yeah. But also... I really do hope that they kind of bring in more of the kind of greater threads that were scattered throughout, you know, Next Generation, Voyager, and DS9. You know, I would love to see, you know, what's happened with Worf, for example, because he obviously at the end of DS9 he went off to become what was it, ambassador? Was it ambassador?
Something like that. To the Klingon Empire.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, apparently he's never heard of again. or so it seems. And, you know, you kind of want to know what's happened with, like, Geordi LaForge and, you know, stuff like that. And it's just like, I kind of want to see kind of an expansion now because it feels like it's kind of come to a bit of a close. You know, it's like the Next Generation era because, you know, you've got Picard who's still in Starfleet. Well, not anymore. But was still in Starfleet until, you know, some, you know, instant, whatever. We've seen kind of clips of Riker and Troy basically, as far as we could tell, retired maybe.
With a fam. Mm.
With a family. You have Data, who's disassembled stroke in a dream sequence, stroke something. And we haven't heard anything from Worf, Geordi, or Crusher yet.
Mm.
So it's like, obviously they're bringing in like 7 of 9, and I swear there was one clip of 7 of 9 cradling somebody that looked like it could have been like either Chakotay or Icheb or somebody, you know, obviously very, very important to her. And
incidentally, I'd be fine with either of them two dying.
I mean, Icheb, I kind of liked. I think he was definitely more of a victim, and it definitely felt like his story could have gone somewhere. But I think because it was, I'm pretty sure that they knew that they were going to wrap up production on Voyager that season. So it's kind of, it was a bit weird to kind of have him so late in. It's a bit like Esri Dax, where it's like she comes in for the final season, and that there could have been so much development there for her.
Yeah,
but there just wasn't the time.
The actress there.
Sorry.
And I feel sorry for the actress.
Yeah.
There and of course that whole thing was just because of a contract dispute.
Really, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. Terry Farrell, you know, wanted some more cash, you know, for the final season, and they basically said no and killed her off.
Wow.
Mm.
That just downright sucks. I mean, considering she became, obviously she was a member of the, core kind of unit and whatnot, of the show. But I think when things went well with Worf, she kind of got more and more screen time, it felt like.
Yeah, I liked her, and it's kind of, you know, I'm growing more annoyed as I watch DS9 because I know, you know, this whole, because we've just had the marriage, you know, Dax's marriage to Worf.
Yeah,
and I know what's coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, instead of, you know, killing off Jadzia, they should have killed off Ensign Kim.
Well, it's not like he was going to rise up the ranks anymore.
No, I mean that's pretty much my answer. It's, you know, it's oh no, you know, who will die in a CSI? Ensign Kim, or you know, Chakotay,
Emily,
or Ichib, and the rest of the Borg kids. Wasn't a fan of them.
I think it was only Ichib that stayed on. I think they found the parents to the others. They obviously found the parents to Ichib, but they basically tried to use them again to try and enact revenge on the Borg. So it's these parents are obviously not responsible enough to look after their kids, so we're just taking him with us.
You know, were the parents actually, you know, like an airlock with parents drawn on?
I don't, all I remember
meet,
is
meet
that
your parents there through that other door.
All I remember is that Mark Shepard was his dad.
Who's that again?
Sorry,
who's that?
Crowley.
Mark Shepard.
Crowley in Supernatural.
Ah, really? Bloody hell!
He gets around if it is him. I don't remember the episode.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, he does get around though.
Yeah, I really didn't give a shit about the Borg kids in Voyager. I mean, really didn't. You know, just airlock. Though, to be fair, that could be said for most of the characters in Voyager. But yeah,
I do feel like I will get to asking Emily about this, but I do feel like they kind of overdeveloped certain characters in that series. Like they overdeveloped. Obviously, Janeway. They, for some reason, focused on Neelix way too much. Tuvok was pretty much like the same throughout, pretty much within reason.
Yeah. Well, Tuvok was the I see. The interesting thing about Spock was the human half.
Then you had like Paris, which does kind of develop a little bit, and Torres.
Yeah.
And obviously Seven of Nine. I think Kes, she doesn't necessarily develop per se, does she?
Well, no.
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, like, you know, kind of by mid-season two, she's pretty much the same as like season four Kes.
And of course, the whole thing with the reason that you know, she left, which was they needed to fire a regular.
Eh?
To get Seven of Nine.
Ah, right.
Because it was, you know, the whole budgeting thing.
Mm.
So they decided we can't think of anything more to do with the, you know, the space pixie.
That is pretty much what she was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I kind of felt sorry for the guy that played Chakotay. The Doctor! The Doctor got a serious amount of, you know, character development.
For a hologram.
That's because he was one of only three characters on that series. Janeway, the Doctor, and Seven of Nine. Those are the three characters. Everyone else is just, I don't know, some kind of NPC.
True. I mean, I suppose in a way, both Torres and Paris both kind of got a little bit better. Emily, what do you want? What do you want, Emily?
Probably me to stop derailing and turning everything into a shitting on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, but Paul's been enabling you.
See, it's all his fault. I am innocent in this.
What?
That's what I chose to take away from that.
Emily.
What do I want to see? I want to see some new uses of technology and some really cool new spaceship designs.
So you want harder in the sci-fi?
A little bit harder on the sci-fi, yeah. I want to see... Because the thing is, this is the thing with, like, Trek, and I think Discovery's done a reasonable job of thinking a little bit more pragmatically about how the technology works, what it looks like, and in light of what we do know further now about technology, because computing and even, like, just flight and stuff has changed a lot since the 90s. Mm. And sort of like our concepts of how things like networks and stuff work. I mean, like...
And like how like tablets can actually, you know, have like loads and loads of stuff on rather than having like a tablet per document.
And do lots of different things as well. Yeah. So I just want to see further developments on that and just kind of... Because obviously, like, there's no point representing the tech of next gen like that today in Picard. Because it's just like...
Even from there, it would have kind of moved on slightly.
So I'm just wondering how they'll have moved things on.
The bit I liked about, you know, the way they explained away the different look in, was it Trials and Tribulations? Which is the DS9 episode where they go back to the Tribulations. Jadzia just explains it away as, it's 23rd century fashion.
You see, I can kind of get that because fashion like technology and trends and stuff like that, they do kind of change over time. And, you know, sometimes you'll kind of go through like a, you know, sleek, clean look where it's basically just like a box on the wall. And it does everything that, you know, is possible to do. And then you'll kind of, you know, have like another thing where it's like all pipes and, you know, whatnot going everywhere because that's, you know, the aesthetic of the time. And it looks more functional and it looks like it should be like handled in certain ways and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, obviously you go from something like Discovery to the Enterprise and it's kind of... briefly mentioned that basically Pike kind of likes that aesthetic of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Versus Discovery.
He doesn't want any of the holograms, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
With the rip it out, there's too much that could go wrong with it. I just don't like it.
Mm.
And you see that again is all you need to do. It's just, you know, the ships are run in certain ways and it could be that certain generations of ship are, you know, kitted out in, you know, one way, others are in, you know, others.
And it could also be because obviously the Enterprise was fitted for its like 5-year mission, so it's basically designed to go out exploring, which means that probably it would have actually wanted to conserve as much power as possible and, you know, kind of generating like stuff like holograms and, you know, kind of all this, you know, kind of random, you know, shit that you see on Discovery. That would have taken quite a lot of energy.
Yeah, and Discovery is described, you know, from the off as an experimental ship. You know, it's experimental, you know, research ship. So it's going to have a, you know, certain look to it.
Anyway, I think
that's all you need to do, and then you can have everything. Oh, you know, the Enterprise is, you know, is all coloured and themed, and Discovery is not, and that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a bit like with the Enterprise D, it was kind of more of a kind of luxury ship than it was, you know, kind of, you know, down to basics functional one. Yeah. But anyway, I think before Emily throttles us, I think we better wrap it up.
Yeah, that's all we've got time for this week. So it's good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter, at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're on Twitter at NerdsPodcast. We're on Facebook as NerdsAssemble Podcast. You can listen to us through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and probably a couple other places I can't remember. So yeah, that is all. Good night.
Good night.
Good
night. Don't beat me up, Scotty. I'm taking a shit.
Red alert! And technically, shields of red alert was redundant because if you went to red alert, then the shields would go up as part of red alert.
Fair.
Just sensible. Red alert! Oh, hang on, we have shields on.